Welcome to Investing in You, hosted by Eric Gemelli, the market forecaster who predicted the crash of September 11th in writing in his newspaper column. Eric is the author of the book, The Pattern of Life, How to Make Money in Any Market. Eric is speaking on a cruise this June and invites you to come along to learn the two patterns that predict every market turn. Now, with his irreverent look at markets and money, here's Investing in You.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Investing in You. I am your host, Eric Gemelli, along with my co-host, the Grand Poobah of Patience, Christopher Smith.
Good morning.
So somehow we've made it here through 10 shows without our producer killing us. So thanks, Tom. It's been a lot of fun, and we sure appreciate the help that you've given us. And he just gave us a thumbs up. He doesn't actually like to talk on the radio. We're going to talk to you about some interesting things today. Last week, we started the subject of wisdom, and I was going to predict the three things you want to change about your life. So if you haven't done that yet, go ahead while we're getting through the first segment. Go ahead and write down three things that you'd like to change about your life, and I bet you I can tell you the three categories that they're in. Also want to talk to you, you know, we're primarily an investing show, but sometimes we go, you know, we chose the topic Investing You because largely we're going to talk about money and investing and the patterns that predict how to make money and all that. But there's carryover to, you know, investing in you, like for health, investing in your psychological health, investing in, you know, being fit. So we're going to, you know, talk about some of those things, and that's where the wisdom comes in. But we also wanted to talk about something that I read in Fortune magazine. The CEO there of Mass Mutual was interviewed, and his name's Roger Crandall. And actually, he's, if you know that name Crandall, he's the nephew to American Airlines' former CEO. So anyway, they were asking in Fortune magazine, what happens when tens of millions of baby boomers confront the reality that they're not prepared, you know, to retire? Because a whole bunch of people are just putting their head, you know, sometimes it's putting their head in the sand. Sometimes it's just stuff that we don't think about, right? Well, what was his answer? He said, they keep working. And that is the reality for most people. You know, even if Social Security exists in the same format that it is now, it's just not enough for, you know, to cover expenses, at least not to live well. And this show and also my company exists to help you. It exists to help you make better returns. It exists to help you have peace and hope in your financial life. And last week, for example, you heard my friend for over 30 years now, Brad Culp, just talk about, you know, some of this takes time, but, you know, it certainly does work. So it's just a matter of learning to do while the waters are calm. You know, that's the time to learn to sail a ship while things are not chaotic. And then also it's helpful to learn to invest when things are kind of smooth, not just, you know, the whole world's not falling apart. So anyway, people will have to face this reality coming up that whatever their plan is not doing enough. So we hope to teach you how to make better results. And as always, we'd love your feedback on the show and the things that you're hearing here. Go to Market4Caster on Facebook, and you can have kind of a correspondence with us there, and we can see the questions that you have. And then also always you can go to my website and get more information about our advertisers as well as the things that we do, and all that's at Market4Caster.com, Market4Caster.com. So last week we were talking a little bit about how Aristotle and Einstein presumed, you know, they saw so much order in the world that they thought, you know, they concluded that, you know, the world had to have been made. And then we inferred from that, you know, and then just what we've been talking about for 10 weeks here is there are universal ratios in the world. So if somebody as bright as Aristotle says there's order, and then we see the order transcending to universal ratios, those are called Fibonacci ratios. You can look those up. Investopedia has a nice write-up on them. Chris has talked at length about seeing, you know, these ratios all over the place in business and his own life. They're in nature, you know. For instance, the big one is 61.8. You know, shells spiral out at those. Hurricanes spiral at those. Galaxies spiral at those. Trees branch out at those ratios. So they're everywhere. So there's also, and I talked about those in my in the seminar we had a couple weeks ago. Isn't it reasonable then to think that there's universal patterns? If there's universal ratios, and if there's, you know, order that was probably created, then isn't it reasonable to think there's universal patterns? So we talked a little bit about how these were taught to me by my mentor, Doc. He was a floor trader at the S&P pits at the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago. So here's a person with just extraordinary experience. He's 83 years old now, I think. And I think he's been doing this process that I teach my clients for over 60 years now. So certainly that's going on. So there's these predictable patterns, and let me just kind of run you through it. You know, they go both directions. You hear us talking about the pattern of five, and you hear us talking about the pattern of three being corrections. And they both go, both directions. So most people are used to thinking at the bottom, and, you know, you buy a stock low and you sell it high. So there's a pattern of five, and just think through this with me. I'm gonna draw it in the air and describe it as we're talking. So, if a stock starts at $10, for example, and then it has a run up, well, that run up is short, but it's north of 10 somewhere, and then it retraces, and very often it'll come back down. So let's just say it goes up. Let's pick $5. Well, it might move down 50% of that. That would be one of those Fibonacci ratios. So it went up to 15, it backed down to 1250. That first move up is the first wave. It's the first segment. That move down to bouncing on the 50% retracement is the second wave. And that sets you up for the longest and strongest move. The third wave is always the longest. We talked about that in my seminar, and I'll have to plan another one. You know, it's really helpful for people to see this stuff in person. And again, I have the basics at market number 4, caster.com. There's a tutorial on the presentations tab. But that sets you up for that third wave. And there's order to that. You know, there's a particular ratio that you would expect. There's a minimum that you would expect. But here's something weird. This has been in the news the last couple of weeks. Angelina Jolie announced that she was going to cut off her breasts, and that my understanding is because of the risk of breast cancer. So, but it was all in coincided with this company that provides tests for this test that can show whether you're at risk for breast cancer or not. And apparently this is a ridiculously expensive test. I think like $4,000 or something. But here's the interesting part. So remember I was just saying the third wave is the longest, strongest? Well, guess what happened to that stock of the company that makes this test that will test to see if you're at risk for breast cancer. You know, and they try to rate the probability. Well, they're experiencing their third wave. They had been falling for a while. They finished their fall rally, and those again happen in fractals, so that's the part that people have trouble. So you do a fall rally, and sometimes that's just the first fall, and then it rallies, and then there's another fall rally to make another fall. Bottom line, they hit their bottom. They took off. They did wave one, and then it fell. That was their wave two. And then it's time for it to take off again. And somebody was challenging me just a couple days ago, how is it that this stuff can appear? Well, I think it was, Chris, was at the fourth show where we had the professor come on talking about quantum physics?
Third or fourth, yeah.
Okay. I think Derek was on the third show. So then I think the fourth. So just go to the website, market4caster.com. You go to audio tab, and we've got a brief description of all of them there. But it talks about kind of that, you know, quantum physics explains how things could be going on outside of our, you know, experience, outside of what we can see and smell and taste and touch, that will actually affect this. But bottom line, so that gets kind of mystical and people don't, you know, there's nothing actually that you could prove, but at least it's a partial explanation. So anyway, how is it? It's just interesting that her announcement comes, it coincides right when there's time for this. We see droughts show up when it's time for a third wave, you know. So folks, stick around. We've got more to come. You know, join the conversation at Market Forecaster on Facebook. And we've got some good stuff for you in the next couple segments. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Investing in You. I'm Eric Jamelli, and we're here with Christopher Smith. Say hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Thank you. So we were talking a little bit, you know, over the last couple shows about my level 300 class is about seeking wisdom, and that the trading, the investing, is just an application of that. I think of finding the patterns, which is a form of just kind of rudimentary knowledge, as just an entry point or a piece of wisdom. So wanted to talk to people a little bit, and I'd love to have your feedback on the Facebook page, which is Market Numeral Forecaster, as to whether this is interesting or shut up and go back to investments. So, you know, please join the conversation there, and love to see what your thoughts are. So we talked before that just, for one thing, I have a little, while I'm setting this up, do one thing for me. As the show opened, we talked about writing down three things that you'd like to change about your life. And I'm going to predict the categories that those fall into. And it's going to be a little obvious when you hear it, but you'll see. So I've had people, whether they're a genius or just ordinary people, have said that this level 300 wisdom class that I talk about creates a paradigm shift for people. So, and it all comes off of something that my dad started me in literally when I was in high school. King Solomon had a quote that I read, and it was in a book that he had provided me. He said, "Wisdom has built her house." So that was Solomon saying this. "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars." And I got thinking, I wonder if there's really seven just basic principles of wisdom. So I got looking, and I think I found them. So if you've been playing along with me, just have written down three things. If you didn't, then think of them real quick. You know, but here's the categories that things fall into. It seems like our lives, you know, I've done this on a whiteboard as I've taught the class. I've broken it down. I'll put an H, a W, and an R up at the top of the board. And then people will start throwing the things that they'd like to change at me. You know, something with their mom or dad. They're, you know, having trouble keeping up with their bills. You know, they're got this ache and pain that, you know, or some sort of, you know, issue, a migraine that keeps reoccurring. And boy, if they could just find the solution to that, they could sleep better. And they think it would be revolutionary for their life. And if you think about it, all of those things break into health, wealth, and relationships. And it seems like that's what life breaks into. So, you know, of course it would. So think about your own life. Would you live more securely? You know, would you have more hope if you could master these patterns that Chris and I have been talking to you about for the last couple months? Well, it's, you know, I mean, all of my customers who get it would tell you yes. You know, Chris, does it take a little bit of the fear out of the future to say, I know worst case scenario, if I break my legs, I maybe can't do my normal job driving around and going and fixing people's computers. But hasn't it just changed the way you see the future?
Of course.
Because why? Because at any time you can go trade.
Because you have a level of control, or at least a perception of control, being able to predict patterns.
I would agree with that. Why did you hedge it by saying perception? Isn't it true that there is actually a level of control over your financial future?
Yeah, but it also depends on your attitude, your belief system, whether or not you have control in the first place. That's why I chose to throw perception in there.
Sure. Well, we talked a little bit about perceiving whether if your basic fundamental, you know, belief is that you start out thinking the world was created and therefore would have order. Or if, what was that great quote I came up with last week? Do you remember it? It's funny how fast things go.
I don't.
I was thinking I should copyright it. If life presents a dream, might life also provide a solution? So, you know, if you think there's order to your life, if your dream was actually not just your creation, but given to you, then it only makes sense that you would also be presented with a way of doing it. And I gave the example of me asking my kids to go accomplish something. Well, A, you know, they have the ability to, and B, it can be accomplished. So anyway, we have people that, you know, would like to change things in their life, health, wealth, and relationships. And, you know, if you could understand these patterns, doesn't it just put you a little bit more in sync with life?
Of course.
I kind of think so. You know, I kind of think that people would be living right. You know, there's less pushing and that you know, striving, you know, where people are all that fretting. I think, and I see this with people, you know, who are successful at doing what I do. If people are in sync with their life, just in general, there's more, they're at rest. There's more peace. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like to warn people, you know, I lead this discussion out of weakness. I certainly haven't arrived, you know, but have been studying the subject on and off for 30 years. So, you know, hopefully I'm a step or two ahead. I would just put out there and say that there is order to life, and that just like there's order in markets, I think there's order to the path that we're on. And if we can kind of get used to the flow, and I don't mean it from a mystical standpoint, just that it's the way things are, you know, I'm the last person to be mystical.
You know, one of the things I've realized in conjunction with other things that I've learned over the past several years with the patterns is that, you know, nobody's life sucks all the time. Nobody's life is great all the time. And one of the things that when I'm getting at there is ups and downs happen. What goes up must come down. What goes down is going to rise again. Fall, rally, fall.
Mm-hmm.
That same kind of thing happens directly in the patterns in your own life. It's one of the reasons why you call it the pattern of life.
Right.
So when I'm going through some trouble, or, you know, get into a car accident, or I have a bad client experience or something like that, it helps because I know that something's got to balance that out. And so good things are right around the corner. And if you pay attention close enough, the extent at which things go down or go up in your life, follow that same pattern.
Right. Sales trainers, this isn't a perfect example, but I've heard sales trainers say, you know, you might have to hear 9 no's in order to hear yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a pattern to that. We talked about Angelina Jolie. You know, it's how weird that she would make an announcement that would affect this stock that, you know, that does the, I forget what test is called, but, you know, they were set up for a third wave. And then she makes the announcement. How weird that corn, you know, the chart would say corn needs to go up, the price of it, and then there's a drought. Well, over and over and over, this happens. So anyway, so like I said, I'm sure learning right along with you, but life appears random. But I think the older I get, you know, like Chris, I'm learning lessons. Charts predict turns, and if you can learn to read their language, then, you know, it affects really the financial future, I think, of your life. So do a little test with me. What lessons keep coming to you? Is there a pattern to it? I had to look in the mirror and kind of answer that question for myself. You know, I've been in a little bit of a struggle with my ex-wife, and it doesn't matter how truthful or factual things are, you know, she just keeps getting the end of that. So at some point, this whole thing of resting that I just said to you guys, just saying, well, make peace with it. It's not going to be right. I think I gotta put that to bed and just rest in it. You know, so go back to that quote, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out 7 pillars. I think we can probably deduce some things from why it's a house and not a castle, why it's a house and not a yurt.
I think it's a ziggurat.
A what?
A ziggurat.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's something that King Solomon built.
Really? Well, yep. You have to tell me about that.
It's a pyramid. Looks square.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, stick around. We have more to come. We're going to talk a little bit more about wisdom, but we're also going to get into some things about, just some risks in the market that people should be paying attention to, and how the patterns are going to predict really when that shows up. So you wouldn't think that it would be predictable that, remember the Greece debacle when we had the financial problems there. Well, the chart actually predicted that. So stick around, and as always, you can hear more at marketforecaster.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Investing in You. We were just talking a little bit about wisdom and how with wisdom you can affect your health, wealth, and relationship. That's seems to be the three biggest categories of things that people want to change. And obviously, I look at that as my level 300 class. And what we primarily talk about on this show is, the level 100 stuff. It's learning how to forecast markets. It's a piece of knowledge, which is a piece of wisdom. So, but think about how learning these patterns, which predict the turns in the market, would affect your health and relationships. Right, Chris? We were just talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You had a thought on how wealth affects health.
Well, health, wealth, and relationships are all closely tied together. So naturally, they would be on the forefront of everybody's mind.
I know when I haven't slept well, and I'm just exhausted, I'm not my sharpest, and it's got to impact my productivity.
Right.
And
then impacts your income.
And?
Which then impacts your ability to take care of yourself.
And?
Buy the proper medicine, buy the right food, stay healthy. And if you're not healthy, you're not going to be able to maintain your relationships very well.
Right.
Which then impacts your frame of mind, which impacts your ability to make money. So it's all a spiraling thing.
All tied together.
All tied together.
So that's health, wealth, and relationships. They're all affected by wisdom. And, the patterns that we talk about, predict all kinds of things. I read an article in Fortune magazine that said there's literally 100 things right now that could make the market crash. He said there's another 100 things that could make it go up, but just think it, short of, almost something miraculous, it's hard to imagine just a huge spike up. But on the other hand, what if Syria bombs Israel? That's going to be a big impact on the market, and it would be negative. Think about, who was it? Chris, I told you about Paulson was saying that he was being interviewed and talked about China losing its advantage, that they're there's no way that they can keep up the pace that they've been. What other things were coming to your mind? And you had made some notes in the show notes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what we're talking?
Well, what about peak oil? They've been talking about that since the 70s.
Right. We start getting $30, a gallon gasoline, that's going to impact productivity.
Mm-hmm.
What else were you thinking of?
Well, you as well as many other financial strategists, economists predict that the Dow is going to be crashing in the near future. Almost like a looming truism that's going to happen. $16 trillion of debt.
I want to comment on the impending crash. Yeah. So I use near, in very loose terms, but yes. So there'll be a point when we hit a top like Japan did in 1989, and mm-hmm. it'll be the highest that we see maybe in our lifetime. Probably in our lifetime. But yeah, that's coming.
And of course, North Korea is very upset with the United States. That's something to worry about.
You never know what they've got up their sleeve. And what I forget what the national debt is. Did you just reference it? $16 or $17 trillion?
Right.
So, it's getting it's getting unmanageable. We, you know, a lot of people think we're beyond the tipping point of that being to be handled. Let's hope that, you know, there's new increases that they didn't foresee, but anyway, that's something that needs to be considered. So,
a lot of people, believe that we're actually in a worse condition now than we were in the 30s after the stock market crash of 29, but it's less visible because we're so saturated in credit and debt.
So it's buying a little bit of space.
Because everybody's buying on borrowed time. So you don't really see,
That's interesting. I hadn't
droves
heard that.
Droves of people on the streets and food pantries and stuff like that because everybody's got a cell phone and, you know, nice rims on their cars and stuff like that, yet they can't make their house payments.
There's a lot of people who have been missing it. I forget the number, but it might be in the neighborhood of 25%. So you bring up some good points, and it's not that all things are doom and gloom. You know, we seem to be in the middle of a big bull market. My mentor, I haven't made up my mind yet as to whether the thing's impending or not, but my mentor says we're in the middle of a very nice bull market and sees us going up to 18 or 20,000. I see his point, but I can also make a case that, we're about to go the other way. So it's not all in doom and gloom, but it doesn't actually matter what happens, because good traders, the people that I teach, know how to make money in any environment, whether the market's going up or whether it's going down. We teach practical skills, and people can actually fare better as the market falls. We've talked about that before. I was talking to, I had a seminar with a guy who has made his living as a trader, and I've always said markets fall about 3 times as fast, but his calculation was probably more like 4. So that means, you know, we're benefiting from a change in points, and it doesn't matter if the S&P goes from 1,500 to 1,600 or 1,500 to 1,400. It's the change in points that we care about. So if it does it over a 3-month period versus a 3-week period, I made money faster if it did it in 3 weeks, because all I cared about was the 100-point change. So there's always going to be opportunity, and that's one of the things I try to get across to people. In fact, we talked about it, I think it was last week, just about the idea of learning to sail when waters are calm, that if you have to learn to sail in a typhoon, you may or may not make it. And I would rather learn to sail while while the waters are calm. Did you want to chime in on that, Chris? I didn't know if you...
No.
Okay. So, investors, we teach them to spot key patterns, and that's these patterns of fives and threes that we talk about. Again, those are at market4caster.com under the presentations tab. And it doesn't matter what the economic climate is. It's just you stand a better chance of keeping your head above water, if you know how to do what we do. And so if things are going haywire, we actually do better. But you got to learn how to do it once you're, while things are manageable.
So basically what you're saying is that it is possible to get ahead in any market with the right skills, the right training, the right practice, the right attitude.
Sure, I have.
What you've been saying all along.
Yeah, absolutely. You need a little bit of practice so you get comfortable. It's, like we were just saying with the sailing, I sure wouldn't want to be learning while the market's collapsing. You know, we can walk people through a trade, but geez, it's nice to place the first one and have a couple of days to think about it. You know, when Doc started me trading, we started actually trading futures. I traded futures for the first couple of years. A lot of people think, stocks are safer and that sort of thing, but that futures are so risky. But you can be wrong all week in oats and maybe risk $50 or $100 or something. Oats just plod so slow. But that was the whole point, is not to just be thrown into a torrent and say, well, wing it, figure it out. So we started with oats and then just moved into things then that were moving faster. And then at some point, it doesn't matter what you're trading. I traded soybean meal. I traded lumber, traded the S&P cotton, cocoa. Cocoa is one of the crazy ones, and of course, so is, well, unleaded gas gets really crazy, and then they're by crazy, I mean wide swings. And then, what's another one? Pork bellies, of course, is the
coffee.
Coffee makes some big swings. Coffee is very manipulated. But here's the thing, and that people always ask me, you know, about both the manipulation that happens in markets, but also the new, you know, people are using math to create, what is it called? Starts with an A.
Using what to create?
They're using algorithms. Sorry, that took me so long. I need more sleep. They're using algorithms to predict, you know, how to trade, and these algorithms are trade off of these patterns. You know, they've observed the patterns and create the algorithms to go along with that. So, yeah, Chris, you're right. Learn to trade while things are a little bit more calm, and then and it doesn't matter what you're in. I eventually ended up trading pork belly some and cocoa, like you said, coffee, all that different stuff.
Did you know that coffee is the third largest commodity in the world? Behind oil and sugar.
You know, really? That?
Yep.
Sugar is in the top two then? So oil would be the top and then...
I could have heard wrong, but I read that somewhere, yeah. Oil, sugar, coffee. These are the top three commodities.
Well, that wasn't a buy recommendation, but still, interesting little tidbit. We'll check on that and try to get back with you. So, you folks, you've been listening to Investing in You. Stick around. We have more to come. And as always, you can go to market4caster.com and join the conversation on our Facebook page at market4caster. Thanks for being here. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Investing in You. And in this segment, we want to interview Chris a little bit. He's our resident psychologist. And we want to talk about how it, you know, the psychological patterns that people go through when they are trading. So in the last show, we talked about how some people, it's just inappropriate for them to be traders. They don't have the temperament for it. They don't have the time. So there's a lot of reasons not to. But for people that can learn this process, and have the time to, you know, work at it a little bit, then really there's hardly any other way, better way that I know of as to prosper so well. So, Chris, give us your take on, you know, the psychological process that people go through who are contemplating a trade and then the emotional roller coaster that you go through when you're in it.
Well, I wanted to say first that it all really starts with your attitude about money, what you've learned about money, your money consciousness, right, so to speak. I've heard some coaches talk about that. And your relationship with money. If you're living paycheck to paycheck or job to job and you don't hardly have enough money to pay the bills, you should not be investing because you've got too much emotion wrapped up in what's going to happen with that money.
Well, trading. They shouldn't be trading as opposed to, well, they might put $50 into a mutual fund. But
that's another point. It's important to have the discipline to put away at least 10% of your income. Even if you just put it under your mattress, there's psychological benefits to that. And you're right, I did mean trading. Because if you're psychologically tied to what's going to happen with your money, where you're going to live, where your next meal is going to come from at the lower extreme.
Right.
You're not in the right frame of mind to be trading stocks or anything.
It's interesting that you use that 10% rule. We talked about Roger Crandall in the first segment. He's the CEO over at MassMutual. And he's the one that pointed out that tens of millions of baby boomers just are going to have to confront the reality that they're not prepared for retirement. But he made the other comment that if people will start saving 10%, like you just said, mm-hmm. in their 20s, you know, everything takes care of itself. You know, they have what Einstein called the law of compounding, mm-hmm. what, the eighth wonder of the world, I think. So I kind of interrupted you there.
Oh, it's fine. But it's back to the 10%. It's interesting what happens when you do that. People that are in the habit of doing that or were taught that at a very early age, it's automatic. But someone like me, I actually learned that 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was in a good job, didn't really have any money issues. But I just figured, you know, I'm pushing, you know, back then it was like mid-20s. I should start putting money away. And so I started putting away 10% because I read this book, The Richest Man in Babylon. And that's one of the principles, is just put 10%, put a dime out of every dollar. And when you're not used to doing that, there's the perception that, well, I can't do that because I've already got these habits or ways of
sure
using my money. If I take a dime out of every dollar, I'm going to have to tighten my belt a little bit. The reality is you really don't. You don't actually miss it at all. You automatically adjust your finances. You just have to maintain that discipline, build that habit, and keep doing it. And before you know it, you've got several thousand dollars in the bank that you can then go and invest with.
And all of a sudden, there's opportunity. Right. And it might be in trading, and it might be you go start a vending business, or right. You know, who knows what you do. But sometimes it takes a chunk of money.
Right.
And you're using, well, Les Madsen's paraphrasing what you're talking about. Remember, he was in here, and you asked him the question, you know, what can somebody do that doesn't, you know, have much right now? And he said, didn't he say just do something?
Yeah.
Even if it's skipping a Starbucks once a week. You
five,
know?
Put $5 in a jar every week.
Right.
Something.
Right. So you were saying you've got a couple thousand put away, then what?
Well, at that point, you can perceive that money as, like I said in the last show, monopoly money. It's not really that important. Mm-hmm. It's not going to make or break you if you lose that money. So then you can start literally playing. At that point, you can emotionally detach yourself from your investing, and you have to do that.
Right, because what we talked about is it's nice if you don't have to live on the results of your trading.
Right. So if you lose a bunch of money on a trade, yeah, you're not going to feel great about it, but you're not going to be worried about your mortgage payment either.
Right. Well, remember, we haven't talked about this in a while. We have three trading rules here, and if people – well, I have 17, but if you do three things, you're going to – you know, we're going to guarantee that you're at least going to make your fee back, and one of those is 10% stops.
Right.
So nobody's right all the time. In the last show, Brad, my friend Brad down in Atlanta had talked about his learning experience, and, you know, he had fortunately put some stops in and – you know, didn't get gutted when he got busy and wasn't watching as carefully as he should. So here's a horrible thing to do with it. What do you think? My dad always told me a boat is a hole in the water you throw money into. So that was his theory. He owned a boat. What did he call it? He named it after the three owners. I forget all their names, but Mobudo, I think is what they end up calling their boat. But anyway, there's just a little nod to my deceased dad. So it's one of my favorite pictures of him riding around in that. But anyway, so you've got a couple thousand dollars. You're entering a trade. You've got stops in. Then what?
Well, you asked me about the psychology of it. And excuse me.
So there's a roller coaster, right?
There's a roller coaster. And you've got to be as little emotionally involved as possible.
Well, and that's why we have those 17 trading rules that I just said. 10 are around the process of trading, and 7 of them are around the forecast. But, you know, for instance, one of them is that you're really watching the cumulative decisions of millions of people, and that takes time.
Right.
You're watching history unfold in a chart pattern. So, for instance, the market turned when the financial disaster in Greece became well known. First of all, I predicted that 7 months in advance in writing, but not because I knew Greece was going to fall apart, but just that it was time for a turn. So you could enter that, but what if I was wrong? So the market, the stock I recommended actually moved 63% just during that little time span. But had I been wrong doing what we just talked about, you know, people could have put $1,000 in there, take a 10% risk. And they're really only looking at, you know, $100.
$100, right.
So, and then 7 for the trading fee.
That's why you trade with stops.
Exactly.
Also, if, let's say you lose your internet connection, you can't get to your trading account. Let's say you forget. Let's say something comes up, you have a death in the family, you're not going to be thinking about your investments. So you let the computer system basically take care of it for you by training with stops.
It's babysitting
always,
for
always,
you.
Always train with stops.
We have a friend who did it right. You know, you can get too greedy too, so that's part of the psychology that people go through. We have a mutual friend who told us a story about his trade in Sun. And he had a lot of options, and he said when it got to $100 a share of profit, you know, take it out. And he might have left some on the table. And Doc had always said that nobody gets everything. Nobody gets the high and nobody gets the low. You don't buy in perfect and you don't get out perfect. Just take the sweet spot in the middle. In fact, Derek said that in the third show. So people can go back to marketnumberforecaster.com and listen to that under the audio tab. But he talks about biting the cheese, just a big bite in the middle, and take it and be happy. So, and that's actually one of the trading rules too, is there's a couple around that about just not wanting at all. Doc had said some things that I'd like to review some of the little quotes that he says. You know, you learn by seeing it. You know, you see these patterns, so you watch it, and then you recognize it when it happens again. And he says there's no shame in not trading. That if you're not confident, there's going to be a hesitation, especially when you're new. But if you're not sure if you see it, there's nothing wrong with holding back. One of my favorite rules is just, you know, there's always another, you can always save enough money to trade another day.
Right.
So.
That's a nice thing that I like about your rules, actually, is that you can apply them as litmus tests to the patterns that you think you're seeing. And you can decide for yourself how many of those rules have to apply in order for you to make a decision.
Right.
If you're really, really timid about it, you can have all 17.
So, folks, that's all the time we have today. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you next week.
You've been listening to Investing in You with your hosts, Eric Jamelli and Christopher Smith. Investing in You is a show dedicated to educating and informing the investing public. The ideas and opinions stated on the show are for informational purposes only. Investing in You, Eric Jamelli, and Christopher Smith are not investment advisors or broker-dealers. We cannot and do not give investment advice. The stock market carries risk. You could lose some or all of your investment. We suggest you contact your personal investment representative or call Les Madsen to discuss suitability for your individual investment. Contact information for Les and all of our show sponsors is on market4caster.com. Thanks for listening.